afternoon, whenever you're listening to this, and welcome in to another episode of In the Crease Podcast, brought to you by Baptist Health. Matt Moretti here with head coach John Galloway. Coach, dramatic win over the weekend. It's nice to be here on another week after a W. Walk me through that, man. Neutral site up in Savannah, weird situation against a non-conference game against a conference opponent.
Yeah.
In Mercer, little OT.
Yeah.
Talk to me about it.
Yeah, and wild game. You know, first and foremost, the atmosphere was fantastic. Any chance you have to play under the lights, you know, very much an old school high school feel to get on a bus day of and to go play a game and to be back in your locker room that night. We've never done that in my time at Jacksonville. So that was a pretty special moment for the guys. I thought the guys really relished in the opportunity. On top of that, just the support that we had at the game. I mean, the amount of alums that made the drive up, the families that were there, it was one of our best attended games in a while that I can remember. And obviously the setting of the game really helped that as well. You know, just obviously a highly contested game, a game between two teams that are represented in the South that have a lot of kids from Florida and from Georgia. You know, really unique matchup. And to do it in a non-conference game, I thought was a perfect setup to kind of build on a rivalry that already exists. And we were fortunate enough to score the last goal, but that was a really evenly contested game. I thought we let some things get away from us in the third quarter, but credit to our seniors and our leadership group that really kept the maturity emotionally, and were able to find a way to win that one at the end.
It was a game of runs, you know, in this one. There was ups and downs. We led, we trailed, you know. Walk us through some of those different situations of how the team kind of handled it and what you did to prepare for that.
Yeah, I think going into halftime, we felt pretty good about where we were. You know, we gave up a few funky goals off of a pipe and off of a ride, and we liked the shots that we're getting. You know, I think I got to give credit to the Mercer goalie and faceoff guys, where the numbers were sliding their way in terms of possessions, and our guys were continuing to produce opportunities. I thought we, you know, we maybe got too comfortable going into the third quarter about the opportunities that we were getting, and we allowed them to make some nice plays in the third, and I think when we went down two, the maturity of our group showed up. You know, when you're down, you're not winning faceoffs. The goalie, you know, Colin Kelly finished with 17 saves. You can get frustrated in that moment and start to press. And our guys were willing to chop away a little bit, one at a time. And there's no such thing as a three-point goal. And we were able to find ways to tie it up at the end and ultimately get a few possessions in overtime and finally was able to put away one.
Yeah, talk us through that at the end. Trailing late, having to claw back and then get that winner in overtime. You know, it's real easy for teams to get behind late like that and be like, you know, oh, what now?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do game week or even before game week? What do you do to prep for situations like that?
You know, really, I wish I could say that I did this on purpose, but, you know, in two different scenarios in practice last week, we set up the scoreboard with a specific score, just to practice some situational stuff. And on Thursday, we did a down by two with 2 minutes and 45 seconds to go. We lost, you know, we lost, the green team lost to the white team. You know, we were able to tie it and then lost in overtime. On Friday, we did down one with a minute to go, and we were able to tie it and then win in overtime. And I don't know if those two things carried over, but I do think it's ironic that we practice those situations, and we're aware that could happen. And again, I was just really proud of our guys, how they handled themselves. You know, Matty Stagnita has an open net shot and hits the pipe. And on that same possession, we ride the ball back, and Matty ends up scoring that goal to tie it. And I think that was just a snapshot of, you know, really the resiliency of that group to not hang their head when they made a mistake and ultimately to be able to make the next play, which resulted in tying the game.
Touch on Matt's effort a little bit there. 7 points, 3 goals, 4 assists, spread it around. He's really been a huge add for us this year in 3 games.
Yeah, huge. And we challenged the attack group this past week, the attack and the defense, and we just said, you know, we need more out of you guys. We rely on our midfield a lot, and the ball is in your stick pretty often, and what can you guys do for us in game to put us in a position to be more successful? And I thought Matty of that group, him and Brett Riley are the fifth years, you know, and I think that they burden that responsibility, and they were willing to have the ball in their stick in big moments. And what was cool about Matty's effort, he did it in all different ways. You know, he did it in transition, he did it off the end line with the ball in his stick, he did it off the ride, he did it, you know, feeding his teammates. And I never felt like he was going to make a bad play. You know, he was just in the flow. And, you know, we needed a performance like that out of our seniors. And I think that this is going to carry him forward with his momentum as a guy who hasn't played a tack since high school. And, you know, even though he's a fifth year, you know, he's starting to get, you know, his feet wet at that position still and starting to seem more comfortable every day.
Evan Tyler gets the game winner in overtime. Who else? Been here forever, seen it, all of these situations. Is it a steady hand kind of feeling with him being out there in those situations since he's been around? I mean, now he's one goal short of the program record for goals in a career. I mean, he's going to have all of that coming to him as we go throughout the year. But just having a guy like that out there in those situations.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Evan is a guy that just the moment's never too big for him. And I will say, I think there's something to the fact that we've been in so many of these and have not won. That Evan wanted it bad. And, you know, if I could choose a guy to have the ball on a stick at the end of the game, I think it would be 44. And, you know, he never gets caught up in what's going on out there. The lights aren't ever too bright. And one of the coolest moments when he scored that goal running off was Jeremy Winston came up to me and, you know, he said, that win's 4 years in the making. You know, the amount of times we've been in those situations and haven't finished the game. And it was a bunch of seniors that decided there's no way we're going to let this one slip. And Evan was the one leading that flag.
Speak to the mentality of that group, that they've been through all of that, that they acknowledge that they've been through all of that and are seeking those opportunities almost to rectify some bad memories.
Yeah, I think when you start to think about it too much, it can snake bite you. And I think that this group has talked about it a lot, but they've used it as fuel as not as almost like as a curse. And anytime you start to think about, you know, luck being against you, I think you know woe is me starts to creep into the locker room. And that's not the case with our seniors. You know, when we were doing our scheduling in the beginning of the year, and we knew it was going to be challenging, you know, to be on the road a lot and to not have a chance to play at home many games like we're used to, we ultimately came to the decision that our seniors just weren't going to let us lose all of those games. They that wasn't a choice for them going into this year, and I think we saw a little bit of that this past Saturday.
Looking ahead a little bit, big one again. you just mentioned the schedule, how challenging it is. Another ranked opponent in Navy on the road at their place. But you've got a lot of guys from up in that area, so it'll probably feel a little bit like a home game just with the people that'll be around.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure on the Navy's fan policies just yet, but and if you know, enlighten us. But
yeah.
What that'll look like. But exciting time.
Yeah, no, I mean, when we had the opportunity to schedule this game, I reached out to Coach Amplo, and it wasn't originally on the schedule, it wasn't on the docket, and when I had heard the Patriot League was considering to play out-of-conference games, I thought, you know, this is a place we haven't had a chance to play a lot at, and for us to be able to go up into the Mid-Atlantic area where a lot of our players are from, and even just a few hours away from where a lot of other guys are from, it gives us kind of that home game feel, a return back to where a lot of our guys, you know, grew up playing the game, and more importantly, at a stadium that they're aware of. You know, Troy Hettinger, who's one of our midfielders, you know, he's from the Maryland area, and he mentioned the other day he's seen the stadium, he's watched games in the stadium, he's never played in the stadium. And anytime you can go to, you know, Navy Marine Corps Stadium in that atmosphere, they are allowing fans, I think, at about a 20% clip, which for that stadium is a lot of folks. And, you know, we're going to have those families be able to come and watch us. So it's always an exciting one when you get to go play in front of your hometown fans and your hometown coaches. And I think our guys are excited about that. I think they're more focused on the fact that this is a top 20 opponent, and it's an opportunity for us to to go prove our worth in the national landscape, because a lot of people know about Navy, and it's our job to make sure they know about Jacksonville as well.
Preview Troy Hettinger for me. He's going to be coming up here on the show in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk to Troy. Off to a great start.
Yep.
You mentioned up in that area, up in Annapolis.
Yeah.
Preview Troy for me.
Yeah, I'm sure the guys are sick of me saying it. I'm sure Troy's sick of me saying it too, but he is the standard of our program in terms of how he operates, how he carries himself on a daily basis. He's just a guy you want to be around. You know, he's a guy that you can rely on the field. In the Mercer game, we had Troy go six possessions in a row, offense and defense. You won't see that on a stat sheet. You won't see that with Troy's one goal in the game. But the fact that Troy is our most reliable defensive midfielder and arguably our most reliable offensive midfielder is what people aren't aware of. So we're excited for his coming out party. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to be soon. And more importantly, he's a really good person. He carries himself the way that we want all the guys in our locker room to carry themselves. And I think him being in this program already in just his short time here has made us as a program better, and we just need to find more guys like Troy.
With that, we'll take a quick pause and we'll bring in Troy, and we'll finish up with Coach Galloway here in a minute, so stick with us.
Perfect.
Welcome back in the Crease Podcast, brought to you by Baptist Health. Matt Reddy, I'm here with Troy Hettinger.
Thanks for having me.
How are we doing, Troy?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm all right. Troy, tell us a little bit about yourself. Second player guest on this podcast. Tell us about Troy Hettinger.
I'm a junior sports business major here at JU. I'm originally from Ellicott City, Maryland. Two sisters, a mom and a dad. Started playing lacrosse around 7th grade, recreational, and then didn't really get into travel much. Actually started as a midfielder, got to high school, made varsity as a pole. Played pole for my club team. Junior year of high school, switched back to midfield. Played midfield until senior year, won state championship. Got recruited here as a LSM. Came here, played midfield as a D mid, and now I'm two-way middie. So all over the place, yeah.
Tell us your story. What drew you to JU? That process, what that was like.
JU was really the first big school that recruited me. As kind of just like an athlete, as a pole or a midfielder, and then right when I got on campus, I kind of knew, you know, it's at the beach, it's warm, a lot different from Maryland. And the guys were just super open. They were welcoming. The team was awesome. The coaches were also super welcoming. I mean, Coach Galloway, professional lacrosse player, played in the PLL. Coach Cornelli played Syracuse, played Salisbury. At the time, it was Coach Leibel, who also played collegiate, and now it's Coach P, who brought a program from very little to very successful. So for me, it was kind of just an easy choice to choose Jacksonville.
What's the experience been like for you?
Oh, it's awesome, yeah.
The build up over these last few years?
So coming into Jacksonville, being in the SoCon, I was kind of just excited to play, you know, Division I at first, and then seeing our schedule, you know, we're playing Duke, we're scrimmaging UNC, playing these top 10 teams essentially. It kind of just like a dream come true, playing all these top teams and then competing, you know, getting the game close. It's a dream come true. And then, you know, living out of the beach, that's always a good experience. Living with your best friends.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, Coach thought you might be a little excited for this one coming up this weekend. Heading home.
As a kid growing up in Maryland, for me, it was always like three stadiums I wanted to play in. Maryland, Towson, and then Navy. You know, I've run tournaments at Navy, I've played outside of Navy, but I've never actually played in the facility, so I'm really excited about this one.
You're off to a great start, having a good start to the year. I think the flow's got to have
something.
Come on. I wish I could still grow. But hey, you know, what are you looking forward to getting up there? You know, see some family, play in a venue you've always wanted to play in, but ranked team, another big one, one of five ranked teams on the schedule. Like you just mentioned, how appealing that was to you coming down. Like, just describe that a little bit.
I think I'm excited to play Navy because, you know, as a military program, you know, these guys are tough. They're hard to battle. They're not going to give up no matter what, no matter what the score is. And I'm kind of just excited to see how we can handle them on the defensive end. You know, they have very efficient dodgers. They move the ball around the horn. They're very fundamentally sound. And on defense, they're just big guys. You know, they're hard to beat. Their keeper's very good, so I'm excited to see how the matchup is one-on-one, and then as a team, I think we're going to do very well. I think we're on the rise. We got guys who are producing all over the field. Matt Sagnita had a great game last week. Evan Tyler's always good. Jack Dolan's always good. Worm's on the rise. So I'm just excited to see these guys produce in a top 20 team.
Yeah, you just started to touch on it. What's excited you about this team so far? 2-1. You've been in every game, and you've had two. Bellarmine was wild start.
Yeah.
North Carolina, you're playing the number two team in the country.
Yeah.
And then Mercer, you're in a dogfight all the way on to that overtime.
Yeah.
Overtime score. Like, how's it feel?
Yeah, I think for us, it's guys who, you know, we got our season cut short last season, and the guys who are just hungry to compete again. Guys coming back for their fifth year, Evan Tyler's coming back for his sixth year. Guys who just want to win. You know, this whole team, they want the best in the to win the SoCon, get into the tournament. I think that's the big push for us, is we just want to win. It's about time that we turn the program into the tournament. Yeah.
Yeah. Coach talked about how, you know, you've got a group of older guys that have been through a little bit of everything and maybe didn't win that game up in Savannah, and are almost seeking those opportunities to kind of rectify some of that. Speak to that mentality of those guys. You know, Evan Tyler, of course, being the guy to score the game winner and having been in the situations where maybe you guys didn't win that game.
Yeah, I think Coach put it perfectly after the game. It took us 4 years to learn how to win that game, and you know, we never gave up. For me, it was kind of, I knew we were going to pull it out. I just didn't know when. It was going to be an overtime. It was going to be a last-second shot. It was going to be Luke Robinson hitching in, coming around. But I knew we were going to win that game. It was just whether or not we were going to win. At the end of regulation, we were going to win in overtime. So I was excited. I knew we were going to pull it out. It was just when. Yeah.
Hey, that's a great mentality to have, right? You know, it's a that's a culture thing. That's a program thing. And that starts at the top. And JG sounds like he's got it humming.
Yeah.
So, you know, now Troy is looking forward, you know. Do you have any personal goals going ahead through the rest of the season, the rest of your career?
Yeah, not so much personal. We did a little homework assignment, I guess you could call it. It was like what you want to be known for. And for me, it wasn't really about the points or the assist or the stat line. It was more about, you know, getting to know the players, you know, having fun, you know, competing, like I said, at this high level that we are. You know, on like winning games, winning the SoCon is probably one of my personal goals. And I think we can do it this year. I think we got the team. I think High Point looks good. Richmond looks good. Mercer's in there. They're a very good team. But yeah, I think we can pull out these games and win the SoCon.
That's exciting, man.
Yeah.
We'll let you get going. Is there anything you want to add on your way out here?
No, I think I'm good. Thank you, though.
All right, man. Well, this has been Troy Hettinger. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is In the Crease broadcast brought to you by Baptist Health. We'll be right back with Coach. Coach, we're back. Spoke with Troy. He's excited to get up there and play in front of some hometown fans. You mentioned a lot of you guys are going to be, and we're certainly looking forward to that, looking forward to what Troy can put forward for us the rest of the way. It's an exciting time for him and for the program, and we're all looking forward to it for sure. Game will be streamed, ESPN Plus. We'll have the live stats. Want to thank Ray Carnicelli for the radio call up at Mercer. We had some internet problems that prevented some live stats, but Ray brought the fire.
He always
just
does.
Wanted to give you a chance to touch on Ray's performance.
Yeah, I mean, Ray Carnicelli, you know, for those that don't know, kind of represents lacrosse in this area in Jacksonville, and he is willing to do anything and everything that we ask, and we're so lucky to have him. He broadcasts games here home. He was willing to go up to Savannah and broadcast that game on the radio, and what was cool about that was there were so many folks that couldn't follow. So they were put in a position to listen to it. And it's almost like, you know, back in the day when you'd listen to like a boxing match on the radio, a boxing fight. And he does have that energy that makes you feel like you're there. And I had a number of folks reach out to me that listened to his broadcast and just tell us how exciting it was. So thankful to have a guy like that helping our program. And I know the parents are appreciative as well.
So we have Navy coming up. We're in the middle of Dolphin Dash.
Yeah.
You know, no better week to be in the middle of Dolphin Dash than game week.
Yeah.
Men's lacrosse always performs well at Dolphin Dash, but give your pitch for Dolphin Dash.
Yeah, you know, we're in the lead right now. I you know, we had a Zoom with our guys to talk about the importance of this week. And, you know, I think fundraising is always a unique thing to talk about with players and coaches alike. And you know, it's not always the most comfortable thing. And the reality is it's a necessity everywhere, you know, regardless of where you are. But what families and our players and the people that support our program are doing for us this week are allowing our guys to experience Division I lacrosse at the highest level. And every one of those dollars goes to enhancing their experience. And, you know, we've already motivated the guys with a little gift that we're going to give them if we do win. And it's like a game. You know, it's funny. It's Dolphin Dash week is the only week you have the opportunity to go 2-0. And we're gonna take a lot of pride in trying to be able to win this thing this week. And more importantly, just really thankful for all the folks that do take the time to support us and our guys. And we're hungry. We're hungry to be champs again, defending champs. And I know our guys are doing a great job to be ambassadors as well.
Yep. The link is judolphins.com/dash. Making it real easy for you this year.
Mm-hmm.
You'll click the little give button. They take PayPal, Apple Pay, the whole thing. Make sure to designate your team.
That's right.
Men's lacrosse. if you're going to designate your gift to men's lacrosse, real important there. Coach, as we wrap things up here, any parting words you want to add?
No, I mean, what an exciting week. You know, I grew up, you know, following Syracuse lacrosse, and in 2004, watching Syracuse play Navy in the national championship game in Maryland. And there's just something different about playing, number one, a military academy, but number two, Navy, which is one of the more storied programs in our sport. And the fact that we have a chance to go up and earn the opportunity to be 1-0 this week, our guys are... they're not bummed that we're not home. They're excited to be able to get on a flight on Saturday morning and to go play this game. And I can tell you the coaching staff is as well. And we're going to have our work cut out for us, but it's going to be a great battle on Sunday at noon. And we'll see where the chips fall on Sunday afternoon. But we're going to be looking forward to getting up there.
One of 5 ranked opponents currently on the schedule. Just another stop on the road on the way here for Jacksonville Men's Lacrosse. Coach, Thanks for hanging out with us, and go Dolphins.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.